राजलक्ष्मीम् धर्मिष्ठ आर्यवचसा यदगाद् अरण्यम् मायामृगम् दयित ईप्सितम् अन्वधाव वन्दे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम् त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्युजसुरेप्सितराज्यलक्ष्मीम् धर्मिष्ठ आर्यवचसा यदगाद् अरण्यम् मायामृगम् दयितमिप्सितम् अन्वधाव वन्दे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम् त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्युजसुरेप्सितराज्यलक्ष्मीम् धर्मिष्ठ आर्यवचसा यदगादरण्यम् मायामृगम् दयितमिप्सितम् अन्वधाव वन्दे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम् Mataji's translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyam Sundar. Purport: we will continue from where devotees left last Sunday. In this context, the word Mayamrugam indicate the special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna, Yogmaya. The original form of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. Thus, Mrigam or animal in this case indicates Krida Mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship in order to bind Krishna more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without Krishna. Thus, due to Srimati Radharani's aradhana or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting the cows, playing with his friends and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and gopis. Thus, the word Anvadhavat indicates Krishna's boyish activity, his running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. Srila Sridhar Swami has explained how this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Sri Ramchandra. Although the Lord is completely independent and detached from everything, He becomes attached to His pure devotees due to their love for Him. In the great capital of Ayodhya, all the citizens loved Ramchandra more than can be described. In this context, Aryavachasa means that by the order of his father, who was just like his guru, Ramchandra gave up everything and went to the forest. There he exhibited his great affection for Mother Sita and chased after Mayamrigam, or the illusory deer that had been created by the tricks of Ravana. That this golden deer was especially desired by Srimati Sita Devi is indicated by the word Daita Ipsitam. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurahangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Trishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Translation once again. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to the Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamsundar. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees. You can speak something worthwhile on this most exalted verse from the 11th canto. Srila Prabhupada once commented that if one wants to keep Krishna consciousness alive and fresh, then one should study my books from various angles of vision. Of course, very much, it should be very much within the Siddhanta, within the boundaries of the Siddhanta, within the boundaries of the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And we see here this verse, specifically the purport, actually is a classic example how one verse is seen from different angle of vision. Different acharyas, different Vaishnava acharyas are giving different understanding of the same verse. Sridhar Swami says that this verse, the word Mahapurusha refers to Lord Ram. Jiva Goswami says that the word Mahapurusha indicates Lord Shri Krishna, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this verse, the word Mahapurusha, refers to Lord Chaitanya. So the same verse reveals different meaning to different acharyas based on their mood of worship, based on their devotion. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, explains a very beautiful verse which says that Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Ritsaroja ase shrute kshitapatho nanunatha pumsam yadyadhiya ta urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vapu pranayashe sad anugrahaya. This verse from third canto explains that, my dear Lord, your devotees, they take your darshan not with their eyes, but shruta ikshita, they see you with their ears. And when they see you through their ears, their heart gets completely cleansed. And what happens when the heart gets cleansed? Lord personally comes and sits in the heart of that devotee. And further, this verse states that, my dear Lord, you are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the heart of a devotee in a particular eternal form in which devotees always think of you. That means Lord reveals himself to a devotee based on his mood and based on his desire to worship a particular form of the Lord. So this verse, we see different acharyas, same verse, but different understanding, different meaning. It's not based on one's own whims, but it's based on revelation, how Lord reveals himself to the pure mood and devotion of devotees. So, when different acharyas are giving different understanding of the same verse, it's not just out of one's speculation, but it is Lord's mercy that he reveals himself to that particular devotee in that particular form. Prabhupada also mentioned one time that if we want this mission, if we want to maintain the mission running in a long run, then one have to follow, Prabhupada says, we have to follow the principle of unity in diversity. And we see this verse and this purport is a classic example of unity in diversity. Different acharyas are worshipping the one same Lord. There is unity in the purpose, but there is so much diversity in their understanding. There is so much diversity in their view of worship. So this verse, we can say, is actually an example for a unity in diversity. Prabhupada one time said that the four Vaishnava sampradayas, the Shri, Rudra and Brahma sampradaya, Kumar sampradaya, these four sampradayas can be compared to political parties. Of course, now I don't know how much this analogy applies in today's day and age, but Prabhupada at that time, he mentioned that these four sampradayas can be compared to various political parties. Now, these political parties are actually ultimately working for one goal. What is that one goal? One goal is, how do we bring about welfare in the society? How do we create best situation in the world? So their purpose, they are united in purpose, but they have different ways, they have diverse ways of working out how to make this possible. How to do the best welfare activity for the nation or for the country. So Prabhupada compared these four Vaishnava sampradayas to political parties, where Prabhupada said these four sampradayas have a common uniting factor, where all the four sampradayas have sadhana and sadhya same. The sadhya is Lord Krishna or Vishnu, and sadhana is bhakti, the process of bhakti. All the four sampradayas accept this as the principle of their philosophical understanding. So Prabhupada said that these four sampradayas have this purpose in common, but All these four sampradayas, they have diverse ways of worshipping. They have diverse understanding how to attain that sadhya. All these four sampradayas, they may differ in philosophy, like Vishishta Dvaitavad or Shuddha Dvaitavad, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the final conclusion as Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So there is a unity in the purpose, but underlying the unity is diverse range of views and worship. So when one understands the unity in purpose, then one will not get confused with so much diversity that's there around in society. So, so that one same Lord is perceived and is pursued by different people based on their different capacities of seeing, different interests and different progression. At whatever level they may be, Lord reveals to them at that particular level. So when there is unity, when diversity is dealt with maturity, then that diversity will not bring about misunderstanding or disagreement or discord. But that same diversity will bring about unity. That same diversity will bring about broad-heartedness. And that same diversity will bring about variegatedness. And this is what is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he harmonized, he integrated various understandings of different Vaishnava sampradayas, and and he brought into one Gaudiya sampradaya. He integrated the teachings, the two teachings from Sri sampradaya of service to Vaishnavas and unalloyed devotion to Lord Vishnu. He also, from Madhva sampradaya, we see how Mahaprabhu picked up defeating Mayavad philosophy and deity worship. So like this, Mahaprabhu, he imbibed and he integrated various teachings from various sampradayas, bringing everything together, harmonizing in spite of having so much diversity. So this verse where our acharyas are giving diverse viewpoint about the same verse, one acharya is saying that this verse or this Mahapurusha indicates Lord Ram. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So from this we can actually say that this verse actually personifies unity and diversity. In Chaitanya Sikshamrit, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he mentions a wonderful statement. He says that when we have an occasion to be present at the place of worship of other religionists, when we are present in front of the place of worship of people of other religion, we should stay there in a very respectful mood, contemplating. What should one contemplate? Here is being worshipped my adorable highest entity God in a different form than that of mine. Due to a different practice of a different kind, I cannot thoroughly comprehend the system of theirs. But seeing it, I am feeling a great attachment or greater attachment for my own system. God is one. I bow down before His emblem as I see here and offer my prayers to my Lord who has adopted this different emblem so that He may increase my love towards Him in the form that is acceptable for me. So this is a broad-mindedness of our acharyas, where they don't carry any ill feelings even towards various other religions, towards various other belief system, but they harmonize the principle in spite of having diverse understandings. One of the verse that appears in Venkatesh Stotram, this verse says how Lord Krishna has the power or the capacity to unite people in the midst of diversity. This verse says, Kalavenu rava vashagopavadum shatakoti vritatsmarakoti samat prativallabhikama dadat sukhadat vasudeva sudam na param kalaye. This verse says that Lord Krishna is one supreme absolute truth, but with the help of his venu or flute, that one supreme Lord can bring unity amidst millions of gopis. Shatakoti vritat. There are millions of gopis who are surrounding Krishna, and Krishna can bring about unity amongst those gopis by playing his flute. And Krishna himself is smarakoti samat. He is more beautiful than millions of cupids. So although there are so many gopis who are surrounding Krishna, but they don't feel left out. They feel, all the gopis feel equal reciprocation. Krishna is there available for each of them, where every gopi is experiencing prativallabhaka matada sukhadat. Every gopi is experiencing that nourishment and enrichment in the presence of Krishna. So we may be in the middle of thousands of diverse types of devotees, but if we are confident and if we are convinced of this fact that Krishna is there for anyone and everyone at all times, one can actually give up that anartha of envy towards other living entity. Why he is getting so much attention? Why he is, or he or she is getting more mercy than me? So when one understands this verse, understand this principle that Krishna is present at all times for everyone, even for a neophyte devotee, what to speak of pure devotee, then one will not be envious of one's material possession or one's spiritual advancement. So we have to recognize this fact. So this is the power of Lord Krishna, where he can bring about unity in the midst of diversity. Now coming to this verse glorifies one of the most important opulence of Lord Sri Krishna. Of the six opulence that Lord possesses, one of the opulence of Lord Krishna is renunciation. Now many people, they put forward this argument that if God is omnipotent, then we cannot have free will. They cannot reconcile with this two things. If God is omnipotent, then we can never have free will. So if God is omnipotent, he can do whatever he wants to do. If he can do whatever he wants to do, then he can even do what we don't want to do. So if he can get things done what we don't want to do, then where is the question of free will? So then, if God is omnipotent, then we cannot have a free will. And the other argument that they put forward is, if we have a free will, God cannot be omnipotent. If we have a free will, that means we can do whatever we want to do. And if we can do whatever we want to do, then we can also do those things which God doesn't want us to do. So if we can do those things which God doesn't want us to do, then where is the question of God being omnipotent? But the wonderful answer to this argument is, God doesn't simply possess this opulence of being omnipotent. God also possesses this opulence of being detached or renounced. The very fact that God is the creator, very fact that we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, but still He grants us a free will. He doesn't impose His own views upon any living entity, nor is Krishna a dictator God, where He is superimposing His views, His thought processes. He is still giving every living entity a chance to think and use His own free will independently. So this is a wonderful opulence that Lord possesses, that He still allows us to do whatever we want to do, although if He wants, He can enforce upon us the laws. Just because He is renounced, He is detached. Especially in the corporate world, we see a person in the leading position wants to boss over, wants to impose upon their subordinates his own views. He expects others to follow what he wants them to. He micromanages, microcontrols. He is attached to his own views. And for such person, it becomes very difficult to delegate. That person, for someone who knows what is right and what is wrong, and for someone who knows that he is the one who knows everything, for that person it is very difficult to delegate or give that service to others. But Krishna, who knows better than him? Who can manage better than him? But the very fact that he delegates the entire creation, he allows even his servants to commit mistakes, it actually proves that Lord Krishna possesses this opulence of being renounced and detached. In Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna is standing in front of Krishna, and Arjuna asked so many questions to Krishna. It took a lot of time for Krishna to really answer to Arjuna's doubts. And Arjuna is asking questions again and again, and Krishna, out of love, he is just answering every question that was put forward by Arjuna. And if he wanted, he could have actually enforced upon Arjuna that you must follow what I want you to follow. But the famous verse where Krishna is telling, Vimrishyet asheshena yathechasi tathakuru. Lord is telling Arjuna that you decide on your own what you feel the best and take your call accordingly. Lord Krishna is respecting the individuality of Arjuna. And this is what proves that Lord Krishna possesses this wonderful opulence of being renounced or detached. It is very difficult, someone who is competent, someone who is skillful, and the people who are working under him keep on committing mistakes, still allow that person to grow, to evolve on his own. It takes a lot of detachment, and especially detachment from the controllership, where a person doesn't want to control or enforce his own viewpoints. Prabhupada, during the early days of ISKCON, when book distribution was booming, book distribution was at its peak, few devotees had mastered the art of book distribution. And Prabhupada even appreciated their efforts in distributing the books. So these devotees, they thought, let's go to Prabhupada and tell him the techniques that we know in distributing books. So these devotees went to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, no, if you don't mind, can we share some techniques with devotees all across ISKCON? The techniques by which the way you talk to people, way you talk to a boy or a young woman or an old man, the way you express through your gestures, through your body language, we know that art and we can actually convince people to take the books. So if you don't mind, can we go from temple to temple and teach these techniques so that our book distribution will actually expand astronomically. Prabhupada became very grave and Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is individual, spontaneous and voluntary. You cannot enforce your views, your techniques on someone else, but you must definitely go from temple to temple, inspire devotees to distribute books. So we cannot instill fear and make someone distribute books, but we can instill that inspiration, Prabhupada said, and that's how Prabhupada actually respected every individual's nature based on which he can or he may or he may not be able to do certain services. But Prabhupada said, inspiration is that force which can help do wonders. And it is very interesting that Krishna, although he is renounced, Krishna's renunciation is not irresponsible renunciation. Irresponsible renunciation means, okay, Arjuna, you don't care for my message, I don't care for you either. That's an irresponsible renunciation. No, Krishna is equally concerned. Krishna's renunciation is like a father's concern for a child. A child may disobey father, but still, father will allow him to commit mistake, but at the same time, father is concerned. Father doesn't leave that child on his own. So the very fact that Krishna, although he is renounced, but he moves along with every living entity in the form of Paramatma, who's one of the nature of Paramatma is Udasina Vadasina. Udasina means detached. But although he's Udasina, still because he's concerned about every living entity, so Lord's renunciation is not an act of irresponsibility. He is thoroughly responsible for his renunciation also. Lord Ram, he made Hanumanji, in one sense, the hero of the Battle of Lanka, where he allowed Hanumanji to fly across the Indian Ocean to reach Lanka. And Lord Ram takes a humble position by building a bridge to cross this ocean. Lord Ram, he wants to give credit to his devotees. If he wanted, he could have done it on his own. Same with Lord Krishna. Krishna, right from his childhood, killed so many demons. But we see Krishna here in Mahabharata. Krishna is not the hero of Mahabharata. Krishna actually made Pandavas the hero. There is a beautiful verse that comes in Krishna Sahasranam. This verse says that Yudhishthira Pratishthata Barhi Barhavatam Sakha. That Lord Krishna, He is Sarveshwareshwara, but still He did not enthrone Himself as the king of Hastinapur. On the contrary, He enthroned Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king of Hastinapur, and He made Yudhishthira Maharaj wear the crown on His head. And Barhi Barhavatam Sakham, what did Lord Krishna delight in? Lord Krishna simply delighted in wearing the crown of a peacock feather on His head. This verse comes in Krishna Sahasranam, which glorifies Krishna's detachment. So Krishna renounced the best and the highest position for the pleasure of His devotees. There are two types of egos. This was shared to me by one devotee. Very nice point. He was sharing, there are two types of egos. One ego is the ego of being the controller. And second is the ego of being the enjoyer. There's two differences. A difference in being a controller and difference in being the enjoyer. What do you mean by controllership? Maybe having a sense of being the achiever, to lord it over or to take the credit. And what do you mean by enjoyership? To enjoy the fruits of one's own actions. Now Krishna, Lord Krishna, His renunciation is exhibited through these two pastimes where Lord Krishna renounced. He renounced the controllership and He renounced enjoyership, the mood of being the enjoyer. Samudra Manthan pastime personifies or reveals Krishna's renunciation of being the enjoyer. Now in Samudra Manthan pastime, we all know how Lord Vishnu takes a humble position of being a facilitator. He facilitates the entire Samudra Manthan pastime. And I won't go into the details of that pastime, but we know how practically He is doing everything to run the whole show. Right from giving advice to the demigods, to giving them pep talk, inspiring them, encouraging them, to the point of protecting them. At all stages of Samudra Manthan, Lord Vishnu is humbly in the background, is giving wonderful suggestion how they can win over the demons. So 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita speaks about five factors of action. Adhisthanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidam vividha cha prithak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. These are the five factors that is responsible for any action to be performed. Lord Vishnu is present in all five here. Adhisthanam, where is this Samudra Manthan? What is the venue? It is happening in Shir Sagar, the milk ocean, which is Lord's personal, Lord owns that place. Karta, although demigods are making their endeavor, but they were constantly failing in their endeavors. Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu is again and again, He is actually the Karta here, where He is actually assisting demigods at every step for them to succeed. Karanam, the instruments that were used in the performance of this action, Lord Vishnu personally, when demons and demigods tried lifting Mandar Parvat, they couldn't lift. In fact, their body was crushed under the heavy load of Mandar Parvat. Lord Vishnu personally lifted that Mandar Parvat and brought to the ocean, milk of ocean, I mean ocean of milk. And this Karanam instrument, Vividam Shaprithak Chesta, of course, all the actions, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu is personally present, and Daivam, because he wanted demigods to get the nectar, no one could defeat them. So all the five factors, actually Lord Vishnu is actually there. Now, he's the one who is solely, acting, and he's supporting the demigods. But when it came, when the time came to enjoy the fruits of the hard labor, what was the fruit of Samudra Manthan? So many wonderful gifts that came out. Lord Vishnu did not claim over even one of the gifts. All the gifts were shared amongst demigods and the demons. Lord Vishnu did not claim. Of course, even Lakshmi ji that Lord Vishnu married, Lord Vishnu was completely detached. He did not wanted Lakshmi ji. It was Lakshmi ji who wanted to marry Lord Vishnu. So when a person performs a hard labor, he is so attached to enjoy the fruits of the results. Here is a wonderful example teaching us Lord Vishnu, even after being in the front, middle, in the end, top, down, up, right, center, Lord Vishnu at the end, he is not attached. He gives up this, he renounces the mood of being the enjoyer, where he doesn't even claim anything. Above all, we all know, Lord Vishnu is supposed to maintain. When Halahal wish came out, Lord Vishnu could have easily drank that poison, because he is master in maintaining. That Halahal wish was about to destroy the planetary system. Lord Vishnu gives the credit to Lord Shiva, who is in charge of destruction. So although Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction, but Lord Vishnu empowers him to maintain. That means what Lord Vishnu is known for, he doesn't want that tag of being the maintainer. He is so happy to pass on the credit to his best of the devotees in the form of Lord Shiva. So this pastime suggests, it teaches us how Lord possesses that opulence of renunciation, where he renounces the mood of being the enjoyer. Another pastime where Lord gives up controllership is the famous pastime of Damodar Leela, where Lord, he knows how to control, but he is happily, willingly controlled by the love of his devotees. This pastime of Damodar Leela, Lord renounces 8 opulences. The famous pastime, we all know how Lord renounced 8 different types of opulence. The first opulence is Lord Krishna is Atma Ram. Atmaram is, the meaning of Atmaram is, a person doesn't need anything from outside to satisfy his desire. But here is Lord Krishna in the form of a baby Gopal, who is renouncing this opulence of Atmaram by desiring milk from Mother Yashoda. Lord resides in the ocean of milk. There is no dearth of milk around him. But still, no, Lord is so eager and he's hankering. He's developing that desire to have milk from Mother Yashoda. So here is Lord who is renouncing the first opulence of being Atmaram. Lord is Aptakam, where Lord is easily satisfied by very little. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Even one leaf, one flower, one fruit will satisfy him completely. It's all singulars. Lord Krishna is satisfied even with little. Lord Krishna was satisfied by that one small grain or one little veggie which was offered by Panchali, Draupadi. Not only Krishna, but even 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni were satisfied. So Krishna is satisfied even with little, but here we see Krishna wants more and more from Mother Yashoda. He's not satisfied with little, where Krishna is renouncing his opulence of being called Aptakam. The third opulence, we all are under the influence of three modes of material nature, but Lord is called Trigunatita, where he is beyond the three modes of material nature. The three modes cannot influence Lord Krishna. But here, in this pastime of Damodar Leela, Lord Krishna is biting his teeth by getting angry. He is voluntarily, by his own sweet will, coming under the influence of these three modes by getting angry. When Bhrigu Muni kicked on the chest of Lord Vishnu, it was very hard. Still, that harsh insult did not slightest agitated Lord Vishnu. He did not get angry at all. When Lord Ram was about to be coronated as the king of Ayodhya, he was being called by his father Dashrath with heavy heart, to pass on, to convey this message of Kaikeyi, that he will have to go for 14 years. He will be banished to forest for 14 years. When Lord Ram was about to enter the chambers of Dashrath Maharaj, he saw entire city of Ayodhya busy in making arrangements for the coronation of Lord Ram. And everyone who saw Lord Ram, they were bowing down to Lord Ram, saying that tomorrow he is going to be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. When Lord Ram came out of the chambers of Dashrath Maharaj, Acharyas explained, there was no slightest change in his mood or in his expression. He was equipoised, neither elated nor depressed. Because Lord is Trigunatita. He is beyond the influence of three modes of material nature. But here we see Lord Krishna. The entire kingdom was taken for Lord Ram. Entire kingdom was taken from Lord Ram. And here some little milk was taken away from Krishna and Krishna gets angry. So Krishna is happily, willingly renouncing this opulence of being called Trigunatita. And the fourth opulence is Krishna is husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Shahastra Shatasambramya Sevyamanam. He is husband of thousands of Lakshmis. But still, where is the need for him to steal anything? Krishna is stealing butter in this pastime. It's like, a big man will not commit pickpocket. If he wants to commit a theft, he will really do a big robbery. Krishna, after all, what he steals is just a butter. But for the entire for the entire lifespan or for rest of the eternity, no, Krishna gets that tag of being called a thief. How embarrassing it is. If a devotee who is newly introduced to Krishna consciousness, in the early days of his Krishna consciousness, no, he is found sometimes stealing Mahaprasad. It's okay, understood. But in due course of time, when that new neophyte devotee turns out to be a, like say, a big preacher, and in the introduction to his entire personality, CV, he is being introduced as Mahaprasad Chor. At one point of time, he is famous for many things, but one of his famous activities was he would steal Mahaprasad. How much insulting that would be for that person. It's embarrassing. But Krishna is very happy to get this name of Makhanchur than being called as Lakshmipati. So Krishna is renouncing this opulence of being called as Lakshmipati. The fifth is Lord Krishna is Ajita. He cannot be conquered. Even Kalyavan, Krishna was passing through. He just passed by Kalyavan. Kalyavan couldn't conquer Krishna. And here is Krishna who is lovingly getting conquered and captured by Mother Yashoda. Krishna is renouncing this opulence of being called as Ajita. Evam sandarshita hi anga harina bhrityavashtita swavashena api krishnina yasyedam sa ishwaram vashe. That even the greatest of the demigods like Brahma and Shiva are very much under the control of Lord Krishna. But that same Lord Krishna is very happily, willingly coming under the control of Mother Yashoda. Krishna is feared by fear personified. This is the sixth opulence where even the fear personifies fear Krishna. But here we see in this pastime, Krishna is feared by that small stick that was shown by Mother Yashoda. Apanna samsmritim goram yad nama vyushugranan yad tato sadyo vimuchyeta yad bibheti swayam bhayam. The Lord's holy name is so powerful that fear personifies fears Lord's holy name. What to speak of Lord's personal presence. And here is that Supreme Lord who is feared by His own mother, Mother Yashoda. This is the sixth opulence that Lord renounces. The seventh is, Lord is Muktaya. He is ever liberated. But here in this pastime, we see how he comes in the loving shackles. When Mother Yashoda wanted to bind her, and he did not mind coming into the loving embrace of Mother Yashoda. And the last, the eighth one is Lord is called Mukunda, where he is not only liberated, but he can even liberate others. Muktaya means he can liberate. Mukunda means Muktaya means he is liberated. And Mukunda means he can liberate others. So here is Lord Krishna. He couldn't free himself from the ropes that were tied by Mother Yashoda. So these eight opulences which Lord Krishna possesses were renounced in this one very pastime of Damodar Leela. So here Lord gives up the mood of being the controller. Samudra Manthan pastime where Lord gives the mood of being the enjoyer, and here Lord gives up or renounces the mood of being the controller. The whole purpose why we should hear about Lord's renunciation as it is explained in this verse is so that these pastimes, they makes us more attached to the Lord. They bring us closer to the Lord by developing that mood of awe and reverence and mood of respect that even a great personality, you know, who has nothing to renounce, but he is willing to renounce for the pleasure of his devotees. You know, how much, you know, if we can, you know, at least, if we may not renounce externally, you know, at least we can learn to renounce, the mood of being the controller and mood of being the enjoyer. We can at least make an attempt. So Lord personally teaches by his own example. So Lord's renunciation makes us attracted to him more, and getting attracted to Lord makes us more detached from this world. This is the whole reason, the whole pastime, why this wonderful verse glorifies Lord's renunciation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhaktavinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.